from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon. Hope you had a fantastic weekend, and welcome to this Monday edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Jody Heiss, the Senior Vice President here at the Family Research Council, and honored to be sitting in for Tony today. Coming up on this edition of Washington Watch, you've seen it by now, a direct and unprecedented attack against Israel by Iran, in which a barrage of more than 300 drones and missiles were launched from the Islamic Republic. Well, does Iran intend to escalate the fighting in the Middle East?
Now, whether and how the Israelis will respond, that's going to be up to them. We understand that and respect that. But the president's been very clear. We don't seek a war with Iran. We're not looking for escalation here. We will continue to help Israel defend itself.
All right, that was White House National Security Advisor John Kirby yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press. Well, Chris Mitchell, the Middle East Bureau Chief at CBN News, will be joining me live from Jerusalem in just a few moments to discuss the latest as to what's happening there. And what are we to make of the attack itself, which some say was calibrated? Is there more than meets the eye? Well, I'll be discussing some of these key questions about Iran's attack on Israel when I'm joined later in the program by retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis. And Iran's attack has ratcheted up the pressure for the House of Representatives to vote on some sort of aid package for Israel this week.
The House Republicans and the Republican Party understand the necessity of standing with Israel. We are going to try again this week, and the details of that package are being put together right now. We're looking at the options and all these supplemental issues.
Well, of course, that was House Speaker Mike Johnson. That was yesterday on Fox Sunday's Morning Futures. But what might we see in this potential aids package coming up, and how soon might we see it? Well, I'll be discussing this with Congressman Mark Alford from Missouri here in just a little while. And at the end of the program, we'll discuss what President Biden reportedly told Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu following the attacks over the weekend. According to a senior White House official, President Biden told Prime Minister Netanyahu to, quote, take the wind, end quote. He also indicated that the U.S. will not support an Israeli counterattack against Iran.
What I don't understand is why Joe Biden and the administration would leak to the media the contents of a conversation in which he tells Netanyahu he doesn't think Netanyahu should respond at all. It is the continuing part of this public game that they are playing, which frankly encourages Iran and Hezbollah, which we haven't even talked about, and the Houthis, and all these other elements that are targeting Israel.
Well, that was Senator Marco Rubio yesterday on CNN's State of the Union. And we'll be talking about all of this at the end of the program with a very, very special guest. You don't want to miss it. So we have a packed, packed show coming your way. If by chance you miss any portion of it, of course, our website is TonyPerkins.com, where you can view this as well as other episodes of Washington Watch. So we've got a lot of resources there for you as well. Always keep it handy. TonyPerkins.com. And before we begin the details of the program today, I want to invite you to join our Stand with Israel prayer campaign. This is perhaps the most important thing any of us can be doing right now. Our collective voice is a powerful testament to our shared belief in the importance of standing alongside the Jewish people, especially right now. So I want to encourage you to commit to praying for and standing with Israel. I want to encourage you to sign our pledge campaign and to pray for Israel. You have two different options to join in. First is a website, prayandstand.com, prayandstand.com, or you can simply text the word Israel to 67742. Again, that's Israel to 67742. All right, so now let's begin our first story. Israel, of course, is weighing its next step following Iran's direct and unprecedented attack against the Jewish state over the weekend. Meanwhile, the Islamic Republic is warning that any retaliation on Israel's end is going to be met by an immediate, stronger, and more extensive response from Iran. So for all of us, we're wondering what might unfold in the next few days. Well, joining me now from Jerusalem to discuss this is Chris Mitchell, the Middle East Bureau Chief for CBN News. Chris, welcome back to Washington Watch. Thanks for staying up and joining us.
It's great to be with you, Jody.
All right. Listen, before we get started, Chris, and there's so much to cover, but before we jump into this, let's talk about what actually unfolded over the weekend. Can you share some of that with us?
Well, as we know, about 350 drones, ballistic missiles and cruise missiles and rockets were fired here at Israel Sunday morning, Saturday night. There were actually some rockets in drones or missiles right over here, not too far from where I'm standing. They were shot over the Temple Mount and part of Jerusalem. They were shot down. You could hear the explosions of the Iron Dome anti-missile system, as well as the air raid sirens. You know, when people learned about this attack, it was several hours while many Israelis were exactly watching to see what would happen. Many people were staying up through the night to see the attack. When people woke up in the morning or lasted through that attack, it really was a remarkable, impressive anti-missile defense. Many layers, many countries to shoot down 99% of these 350 drones and missiles and rockets. Some people call it miraculous. Many people were praying that God would protect this land and his people, and it seemed like those prayers were answered. But right now, Jody, we're anticipating how Israel's going to respond. Yesterday, the war cabinet met for 4 hours. They met again this afternoon. Apparently, they do have a plan in place, and it's going to be a painful retaliation, according to some reports. Also, the IDF chief of staff, Halevi, he made a statement down in the Netivim air base. That's down in the south. That's where many of the F-35s are. And he's promising a retaliation as well. Some people speculate that could include missiles as well from Israel into Iran. But as you say, Iran right now is promising a retaliation when Israel is going to attack. And so we see how this is going to escalate in perhaps in the next few hours or next few days.
Well, I certainly am one, Chris, that would say it was absolutely miraculous what happened over the weekend. The fact that there were no deaths in spite of some 350 missiles and so forth coming into Israel is just absolutely remarkable. The protection of God through the weapon systems there. And you mentioned that there is going to be some retaliation from Israel to Iran, but you say it could be anywhere from the next couple of hours to the next couple of days. I'm sure Israeli leadership keeps this type of thing close to the chest, but you fully suspect it's going to be a pretty powerful retaliation.
I do, Jody. I think it'll be a painful, as they say, and I think it'll be a retaliation to try to restore some deterrence. Many people here in Israel feel Iran just simply can't have this, despite the fact that 99% of these projectiles were cut down. Israel has to respond. It has to restore the deterrence. What Iran does after that remains to be seen, but Israel feels like it really has to. And I would say also, Jody, you know, this was a historic moment. Israel and Iran had been in a shadow war for about 45 years. This is the first time Iran has directly attacked Israel from Iranian territory. And it's just really a game changer here in the Middle East. But also say there was remarkable cooperation between countries like Jordan. And it seems like Saudi Arabia was involved as well, providing intelligence, maybe some anti-missile defenses as well. And it's been reported that actually the daughter of King Abdullah in Jordan was shot down about six of these projectiles as well. So really unprecedented cooperation between many countries to bring this this anti-missile defense surrounding the Jewish state.
Well, that's really encouraging to hear. What are you hearing from people on the ground? There was already unity that came about ever since the original attacks. But now this has, I would think, would have to increase the unity among Israelis of their resolve to defend their country and to support Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Yeah, in fact, the latest poll I saw that Netanyahu is actually leading in the polls. He had been behind Benny Gantz, another member of the war cabinet and a member of the opposition. But I'm sorry, there goes my light, but don't worry about it. I'll just keep talking. So it seems like I think there is unprecedented unity ever since October 7th. We've seen that. And now here with the Iranian attack, I think Israelis will gather together like never before. And hopefully they'll have the support, at least tactically, of from the United States. I would add, Jody, that they really don't necessarily appreciate the fact that the United States is trying to restrain them. They've been trying to restrain their military operation in Gaza for several months. And I think they here, they meaning the Israelis here, want to make sure that they eliminate Hamas as a threat on its southern border and Hezbollah on its northern border. And if necessary, Iran on its far to the east.
I don't know if you were able to hear as we came on to this segment, but yesterday, Senator Marco Rubio on CNN's State of the Union, he noted how Iran knows that it cannot beat Israel militarily, but he noted that one of the possible goals that they have is to try to make Israel an impossible place to live and a place where no one wants to visit. Israel's defense minister, Gallant, has similarly noted that Hamas wants to deter the Jewish people from living the way they do in the democracy and so forth. What can you tell us about the effects of the war so far on Israel?
Well, some people call that strategy, Jody, death by a thousand cuts. You have Hamas in the south, Hezbollah to the north, the Houthis down in Yemen, and you have Iranian-backed militias in Iraq and Syria. So they do want to continue to drain the resources, the morale of the Israeli people, the resources of the state of Israel, and try to, just make this place unlivable. If you look and if you live here in Israel, they haven't succeeded at all. This is an amazing place to be. It's a startup nation. It's actually thriving in many ways. But now, since the attack on October 7th and the attack on April 13th, just 2 days ago, it really does ratchet up this threat by not only Iran's proxies, but Iran itself. But I think that's been the strategy to make this place unlivable, as Senator Rubio said. But I don't think that's succeeding. And I think the resolve of the Jewish people here in Israel and the Israelis is remarkable. They're not going anywhere. And I think to add to that, Jody, this is a place where I believe God has planted the Jewish people. And as Psalm 120 says, that he that watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And he's watching over the Jewish people today.
Chris Mitchell, Middle East Bureau Chief for CBN News, cannot thank you enough. Your physical light may have gone out, but your spiritual light certainly has not. Keep it ablaze, my friend. All right, coming up, Iran's major drone and missile attack against Israel over the weekend has ratcheted up pressure for the House of Representatives to vote on some sort of aid. Stay tuned. Congressman Mark Alford will join me right after the break.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leila Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith. Men are constantly told that there is no place for their thoughts and concerns about abortion. However, this attitude ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. Furthermore, one does not have to be a woman to know that abortion ends the life of an innocent, unborn child. Every man has a role to play in protecting unborn lives and supporting the mothers in their families and greater community, which is why FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help men positively address the topic of life. This guide will equip men with phrases to utilize or avoid, as well as practical tips for helping to protect life and the expectant mother or unborn child he knows. Every man has the opportunity to be an unborn baby's hero by stepping in to support a mother and speaking up for her child's life. Get this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the important role men play in protecting unborn lives.
And good afternoon. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Jody Heiss, sitting in today for Tony, and we're glad to have you on board with us. All right, once again, I want to invite you to join our Stand with Israel prayer campaign, and that includes our Stand with Israel Sunday event. For more information on how you can join us in Standing with Israel, simply text the word Israel to 67742. That's Israel to 67742. All right. Iran's major drone and missile attack against Israel over the weekend has certainly ratcheted up the pressure on the House of Representatives to vote on some sort of aid package for Israel this week.
The House Republicans and the Republican Party understand the necessity of standing with Israel. We are going to try again this week, and the details of that package are being put together right now. We're looking at the options and all these supplemental issues.
All right, of course, that was House Speaker Mike Johnson yesterday on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures. Well, the question is, what might we see in terms of an aid package, and how soon might that happen? Well, joining me now to discuss this and more is Congressman Mark Offord. He serves on, among other committees, on the House Armed Services Committee, and he represents the 4th Congressional District of Missouri. Congressman Offord, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always great to have you, my friend.
Thank you, Jody. Good to be with you.
All right. Listen, before we get into discussions about the Israel support package, I wanted to get your reaction to reports that have come out regarding President Biden's remarks to Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, in which he reportedly said that the U.S. is not going to support Israel if there is a counterattack against Iran.
Look, this is a weak, failing president who is trying to hobble the state of Israel. We have had a close friendship with Israel for 80 years now. And for this president to try to hamstring a sovereign nation from defending itself and prevent it from being attacked again from Iran, by Iran, I think it's ridiculous. This president, look, if this president doesn't want to knock out select targets in Iran, which I feel like we should be doing, that's one thing. But to tell Israel that it should not be going another step further to defend itself and try to deter further attacks is beyond ridiculous. It's shameful.
Yeah, it really is. And this was an outright attack. I mean, over 150 drones suited up for war. And this was an attack. And this is like the president saying to Israel, you do not have the right to defend yourself. And if you do, we're not going to support you. It really is just stunning to me. As you mentioned, we've had incredible support with Israel for 80 years or so. Now, let's get on to the support that may be coming forth. What do you think this Israeli support package, Israel support package, is going to look like? What should it look like?
Well, Chidley, let me just review what we've done so far. Last year, we pretty much early on, once we got a speaker, passed a support package, I think $14.3 billion for Israel. It was tied to what's called a pay for. We were going to claw back some of this money for the 87,000 IRS agents the president's trying to sick on the average day American. Here we are on April 15th. The Senate would not go along with that. They did not want to pay for. The second package we produced was for an even greater amount of money, but it would not pass on suspension because the Democrats wanted aid to Hamas and aid to Gaza tied in with that. And we're saying there's no way that's going to happen. So now we've got, here's what we've got to do, Jody. I just got back from Israel. I was there last week. I have never seen anyone so determined to finish off Hamas, to finish the job and bring the hostages home. Benjamin Netanyahu, President Herzog, have spines of steel, and it's a shame that this president is trying to deter them from actually winning this. But here's what we need to do as a body. We need to pass a supplemental that is robust, that is strong, that has no strings attached to it, and is not attached to aid for Ukraine. My fear is that's what the Senate's going to try to present us with. I'm hoping that our speaker does not give us a bill that has anything to do with Ukraine. These are two separate issues and should remain as such.
Could not agree with you anymore. And, you know, you're exactly right. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has been sitting on the bills that were sent over from the House ever since they got there. What is it going to take for something to make its way to the president's desk? I mean, here we have Schumer sitting on this. What is it going to take to move him and to move the Democrats to action to actually help Israel?
Well, the pressure is building. You know, right now, it's a pressure cooker in America. You look at the video coming out of New York City, the protests that are happening now on the Brooklyn Bridge. The Golden Gate Bridge is shut down because these Jew-hating, terrorist-loving people who are making their voices known in an illegal manner are shutting down traffic, shutting down commerce. They should be arrested. Hopefully they will. But this pressure is building in America. The Democrats continue to bow to the loudest, most progressive voices. They've got to have a spine. They've got to say enough is enough. We are standing with Israel. If you don't like it, leave.
Yeah, you know, and it's back and forth. It's like we're watching a roller coaster. Last week, President Biden and his administration reiterated yet again their claim that their support for Israel is ironclad. But that is not really what we're seeing, is it?
Actions speak louder than words. You can go out and say all day long that, yes, I support this and I support that. But look what this president has done. Early on, it took him a couple of days after October 7th to even react to what was going on there, the slaughter, the torture, the kidnapping of hostages, including American hostages. For him to try to create any division between us and the nation of Israel is wrong. We have to show our strength. Israel is our closest ally in the Mideast. We are inextricably linked with them. I truly believe as a Christian that our providence and protection from God Almighty is dependent on our relationship with Israel and us supporting them. We had better get our act together.
Congressman Mark Hofford, always great to have you on the program. And this issue is critically important to you, to us, and to our nation, as well as the entire world. Thank you for taking time out of your phenomenally crazy schedule right now to join us here on Washington Watch. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Jody. Take care.
All right, friends, so much happening right now. Thank you, Congressman Alford. All right, after the break, we have much more on the Biden administration's handling of Israel's war against Hamas. So stick around. Don't go anywhere. Much more in your way.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leila Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Jody Heiss. Honored to be sitting in today for Tony, and thank you for joining us. All right, Iran's attack on Israel over the weekend was direct. It was unprecedented, and some are even saying it was calibrated. So more specifically, what would that mean? And if the Islamic Republic's next response will be, as they claim, immediate, stronger, and more extensive than the one we saw over the weekend, what does that mean for Israel? Well, joining me now to discuss this and more is retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis. He's a senior fellow for national defense here at the Family Research Council and the author of Divided We Stand, The Globalist Scheme for a One World Government. Lieutenant Colonel, always great to have you on Washington Watch. Welcome back.
My pleasure, Jody. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Okay, so first of all, let's talk about the attacks that took place over the weekend. What can you tell us about them? Specifically, what led to these attacks? We've had 40 years where they've just kind of been in the shadow attacking one another, but this was blatant. It was in your face. What led to it?
You know, there was a secret war going on for decades, but a couple weeks ago, the Israelis allegedly attacked a consulate in Damascus being used by the Quds Force, the IRGC, which really answered to the Ayatollah, and they managed the proxies around the region. So Israel allegedly went after that, killed two generals, a whole bunch of other people. And then, of course, as a result, Iran decided to retaliate, and they retaliated and gave the credit, according to the president of Iran, to the IRGC, which is just tit for tat. So that's kind of the background. And then, of course, on Saturday, they launched 300 various platforms, drones, as well as ballistic missiles. And as everyone knows, most of them were destroyed en route.
So this does sound like a calibrated retaliation. I mean, this is something they have been planning. It was not just kind of the spur of the moment. What do you make of that?
No, I think it was calibrated. It was, you know, the drones came in with the lights on, so there wasn't any secret about that. It was meant for psychological persuasion of the Israeli people, but at the same time, a very clear message, and that is that Iran, from its own territory, can reach out and touch Israel. And that, of course, is the first time we've ever seen this. And so the dynamics in the region have changed. Now, at the same time, they not only fired from Iran, but they fired from Iraq, Syria, and Yemen. And so that really made a more complex aerial battle that ensued, in spite of the fact that the Iron Dome and David Sling, as well as our own Patriots and F-15s and, you know, USS Kearney and Arleigh Burke in the Med were engaging these targets. And so that was good news because those systems work, but bad news in terms of, you know, this has really changed the formula going forward. And in fact, I think the Iranians feel emboldened.
Yeah, and that brings up a really good point. I think the Iranians do feel emboldened. Others around them perhaps do as well. But then you add to that the layer, if you will, where a White House official told Axios that President Biden told Prime Minister Netanyahu, you got to win. So take the win. You got one. And then reportedly, again, Biden told Netanyahu that the U.S. would not participate in any offensive operations against Iran. And supposedly, he said, Netanyahu understood. What do you make of all this? This seems to add yet another layer of complicated web to all of it.
Well, as former Defense Secretary Gates said, Mr. Biden hasn't got anything right in, 40, 50 years in terms of geopolitics. I think this was a mistake as well. You know, if you recall, Jody, after we killed Soleimani at the Baghdad International, yeah, the Iranians responded, but then they went into silent mode for years until Trump left. Now, you have to recognize the Iranians only understand one thing, and that is force. Netanyahu understands that, and he will retaliate. I would recommend they retaliate against IRGC, which are behind most of these. And after all, the president and prime and the foreign minister congratulated the Quds Force. So, you know, go after one of their bases inside Iran. They've already breached the secret war. It's out in the open. So if you don't hurt them, they'll do it again, and they'll do it again with a vengeance.
Yeah, they really will. And I love what you said, because it's so true. The only thing those people understand is power. And yet what they see from the Biden administration is weakness. And of course, this administration talks that they don't want to see any escalation. But the fact of being weak, don't you think it provides an avenue for retaliation? If they don't think the U.S. is going to respond, like, here's our chance. Let's go for it.
No doubt. The Iranians and their proxies have hit us, the U.S. personnel across the region, at least 170 times. They'll continue that, and they'll continue after the Israelis. I think my broader strategic concern is that their allies in Russia and China are watching and taking pretty good lessons from this as to how to further intimidate the West. And unfortunately, unlike Israel, with a series of anti-ballistic missile capabilities, the Iron Dome and David Sling and Arrow, our capability against ICBMs and the like is not very good. And so we need to recognize that we face a threat, perhaps like Israel, but more long-term. And it's coming from
people that have
more.
We're going to have to wrap it up right there. Okay. Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, thank you so much. We appreciate you coming on the show. All right, friends, after the break, I'll be joined by our very own Tony Perkins to get his thoughts on what's happening in Israel and much more. Stay tuned.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leela Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith. Men are constantly told that there is no place for their thoughts and concerns about abortion. However, this attitude ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. Furthermore, one does not have to be a woman to know that abortion ends the life of an innocent, unborn child. Every man has a role to play in protecting unborn lives and supporting the mothers in their families and greater community, which is why FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help men positively address the topic of life. This guide will equip men with phrases to utilize or avoid, as well as practical tips for helping to protect life and the expectant mother or unborn child he knows. Every man has the opportunity to be an unborn baby's hero by stepping in to support a mother and speaking up for her child's life. Get this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the important role men play in protecting unborn lives.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Jody Heiss, Senior Vice President here at Family Research Council. An honor to be sitting in today for Tony. And as we've highlighted all throughout the program today, Israel is literally fighting for its survival. And now Iran has attacked directly. Meanwhile, President Biden and his party seemingly are determined to appease the anti-Israel segment of their own base, tacitly supporting Israel's opponents. Friends, Israel needs our support. They need our prayers right now more than ever. So I encourage you to please take a moment to sign our pledge campaign and to pray for Israel. You've got a couple of options. Go to prayandstand.com. That's prayandstand.com. Or you can also text the word Israel to 67742. This is a time where our collective voice, it's powerful, and we need to come together to stand alongside the Jewish people and pray for them. And thank you in advance for joining us in that regard. Okay, well, after the thwarted attempt by Iran to attack Israel over the weekend with hundreds of drone and missile attacks, President Biden reportedly told Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to take the win. He also reportedly said that the U.S. will not support an Israeli counterattack against Iran, according at least to a White House official. So why would the Biden administration leak that information to the media? And what in the world does that kind of message send? Well, joining me now to discuss this and more is the president here at Family Research Council and host of Washington Watch, Tony Perkins. Tony, thank you so much for carving out so much of your incredibly busy day. And let me just say this before I bring in Tony. I've got to say, when these attacks took place over the weekend, the first thing that came to my mind was, Lord, thank you that this did not happen while Tony was in Israel just a couple of weeks ago. And the second thing, my wife and I, we got together and we prayed for the safety of Israel and for divine intervention, which now we're asking everyone across this country to join us in doing as well. But thank God you're okay, and thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us right now.
Well, Jody, thank you for hosting for me today. I just flew back in from the left coast. I was actually out in California this weekend preaching for Pastor Jack Hibbs at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and just got back into D.C. and getting ready to go back up to the Hill for a meeting this evening on Israel. And you're absolutely right. What we saw, I believe, is evidence of God's hand at work at 331 drones, missiles that were fired at Israel. Only one hit southern part down by one of the air bases near Beersheba, did some moderate damage, but that was it. The others were intercepted by the Iron Dome, by David's Sling, and by the other missile defense systems that have been put in place with the United States. Has been helping them with, both with the funding, technology, and this is why it's so important that we continue standing with Israel. Their security is intertwined with our support, and I was had several conversations over the weekend with the speaker about this. We've already seen this today, that the Republicans in the House are redoubling their efforts to get that needed support to Israel at this time.
Well, and I do want to talk about your conversation with the speaker. And listen, their security is very much linked with our security spiritually in all of this and us standing with Israel. But I'd like to get your reaction to the White House and their response to the attacks over the weekend.
Well, it's very much when I heard it, when I heard the president's response. Frankly, Jody, I think that's what got Israel into this position to begin with. In my meeting, as you made reference to, I was in Israel 3 weeks ago, met with the prime minister, spent about an hour with him. I've talked about that on this program. And one of the things that he made very clear is that they had to go into Rafah and they had to eliminate Hamas, because if they did not, they couldn't fight to a draw. They couldn't walk away from it, because this would incite greater attacks from places like Iran. In fact, I was yesterday morning listening to a BBC report with a professor out of Tehran who was kind of mocking Israel and their inability to clean up the situation in Gaza, that they were at a standstill. Well, that's because the United States, the Biden administration, in many ways has tied their hands, and this has made them vulnerable to these greater attacks. And so I do anticipate that Israel is going to respond. They're saying as much, so that's not a surprise. The question is, will they hit Iran? How hard will they hit them? Will they hit it in proportion to the attack that was launched against them, or the effects of that attack? Or will they go after one of their proxies? Will they go after Iraq and send a strong message? Because if they hit Iraq, it makes very clear that they could hit Iran as well. And it will send a message that you're next. So the question is just when, how, and to what degree. I also think, Jody, this could be an opportunity for Israel to go after the nuclear plan of Iran, which would be doing a favor to the rest of the world if they did that at this moment.
Absolutely. The great point, all the various strategies you brought up. You referenced the conversation you had with the speaker over the weekend. It had to do with a premiered new program on the Salem News Channel called This Week on the Hill. And in this inaugural episode, you and Speaker Johnson talked about how the Biden White House has distanced themselves from Israel during this very critical time. If we could, play clip three, please.
It's almost unbelievable that the president has turned his back since October 7th on Israel. They're leaning into the pro-Hamas, you know, pro-protester branch of their party, that is, if they're fearful of that wing of the party, and it's a rising number of young progressives who are screaming that Israel is the enemy somehow in this atrocity on October 7th.
Yeah, wow. How would you characterize the direction that the Biden administration has currently been going here in recent days with Israel?
Well, you know, it's sometimes difficult for us to determine, you know, what's in a person's heart, but we can definitely see their actions. And let me just lay out a few of the actions that we've seen from President Biden and his party, the Democratic Party, Chuck Schumer. You'll remember that the House, right after Mike became Speaker, after Speaker Johnson ascended to the gavel, in October of last year, one of the first measures passed out of the House was to fund Israel. That has been set on by the Senate, by Chuck Schumer. He has refused to have a vote on that. Then he sent another bill over, and they refused to move on that as well. And then you'll recall when I was on my way back from Israel, Chuck Schumer said that they need a new government in Israel to dissolve the party or dissolve the parliament in the middle of a war. And so they've done everything they can to hinder the work of Israel. But I would go one step further, Jody. The Biden administration not only has made Israel vulnerable to this attack by their vacillation in terms of their support and the lack of resolve to sending a message to the world that we would stand with Israel. That has not been the message. Although I do commend them, they did intervene, they did help on this attack over the weekend. So I want to give credit where credit is due. But in many ways, they are responsible for creating the chaos. $6 billion just months ago of frozen Iranian oil assets were unfrozen and released to Iran, giving them the resources they need to be able to do stuff like this. And so in many ways, the Biden administration has created this situation in the Middle East, which I want to underscore for our viewers and our listeners, is not just another skirmish. This is very, very serious. We could very quickly see this spiral out of control, moving into a third world country. And you made reference to this, I believe, in an earlier interview. Where I'm very concerned is China. China, I've said this many times, is our greatest adversary. And they're in many ways fueling and funding this. But if we get bogged down in a war, whether it be in Europe with Russia, or whether we're in the Middle East, China is going to be the one who benefits from that. So we need to be very smart in how we manage these crises and try to keep from being drawn in deeper, because we're not strong and we're not sending an unequivocal message of support.
Could not agree with you more, Tony. It's frightening times, and it seems as though our current administration and the military leadership therein is more concerned about pronoun usage than understanding the role of our military. Your conversation with Speaker Johnson, anything else that is that you believe that our viewers and listeners right now need to hear in that conversation?
Well, there's several things. We, as it pertains to Israel, another one of the items we talked about, we actually talked about this on the program this week on the Hill that aired over the weekend, was that the speaker invited, now this was before the this latest episode with Iran, it was back when, it was about 2 weeks ago, he issued an invitation to the prime minister to come speak at a joint session of Congress. Now, as you know, that requires the Senate leader to sign off on that invitation because it's a joint session. Well, Chuck Schumer has been sitting on that for 2 weeks, refusing to issue that invitation to the prime minister so that he could come and make his case to the American people unfiltered by the media. So again, we see the Democrats doing everything they can to hamper the effort of the Israeli government. It's shocking to see the level and how quickly this has turned. Because, Jody, you know this, when you were in Congress, Israel has long been a bipartisan issue, but not so much anymore. And hearts are turning, hearts are being hardened. And as believers, as those who read Scripture, we can see many of the pieces falling into place that we read in Revelation.
Yeah, you're so right. And that's one of the things that's so stunning to me, how rapidly the about-face seems to have taken place in, as you said, what has always been a very much bipartisan issue. The Biden administration, in the midst of all of this, Tony, continues to claim that it is not funding Iran's efforts. You mentioned a while ago $6 billion. I mean, there's no question if you follow the money trail. And yet they continue to deny any such thing of funding Iran. What's your response to the administration when they make these claims?
It's just like what we dealt with years for years with Planned Parenthood. You know, the federal government restricts the spending of taxpayer dollars directly on abortion. And so when Planned Parenthood gets tax dollars, taxpayer money for family planning, but they're doing it in the same building in which abortions are being performed, how do you determine that that money's not paying the overhead for the abortions that are being performed? And so money is fungible. It's hard to distinguish. And so that's what we see in Iran. And when I was in Israel, I was given a briefing by a non-governmental organization using open sources, just knowing where to find the information, but showing the money trail of how Iran is funding its proxies, including Hamas, Hezbollah, and where that money was coming from. And the United States was freeing up more money for them to use for terrorist purposes. And why would we unfreeze those assets that was squeezing their economy and keeping them focused internally on trying to keep their people from revolting, and now they're free to go and harass Israel and other Middle Eastern countries that will not follow their view of Islam?
Well, and I think the American people need access to that information as well to follow the money trail. People here need to know how we are funding them. Tony, I want to get to what's coming up on May 19th as we stand and pray for Israel. But before we do that, real quickly, if you can, what's the difference in your eyes of the way the U.S. is responding, aiding, helping Ukraine versus Israel?
Well, you know, Jody, you and I have talked about it. I've talked about it on the program a lot. I'm leery about some of the things I see in Ukraine and what's happening in the volume of money. If this latest amount is spent, it'll be about $130 billion that we've spent in the last 2.5 years. You know, in the total time since 1948, we've spent about $160 billion in helping Israel. That said, as I've talked to more experts and I've looked at the situation, I am concerned about what's happening in Ukraine. I'm concerned about Russia regaining its footing, Putin wanting to move on Kyiv now that the weather is clearing there. And what happens if he rolls beyond there into Romania, goes into Poland, into a NATO country? We then are drawn in directly because of our alliance in NATO into a war. And again, I go back to China. China then is free to continue their nefarious activities globally. And you talked about this, and it was in passing, but it's really a serious issue that our military is more focused on pronouns than on fighting wars. Our military is not prepared to fight on multiple fronts. We don't have the capacity. We don't have really the expertise in many ways. We saw the debacle in Afghanistan. Now, again, that's not because of the men and women who
serve. Hey, to interrupt, Tony, but we got to wrap it up there. Oh. We just have a few seconds left. But thank you, Tony Perkins, for joining us. Your insight is always incredible. We appreciate it. Friends, May 19th, stand with and pray for Israel. You can find out more. Pray and stand how to do so. Text Israel to 67742. We'll be back tomorrow right here on Washington Watch.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.
Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.